Well, I'm using the New American Standard today. I found another Bible at home, and it's really good. And I like to take all my Bibles when I know I get to teach, and I pile them up, and then I just start from my King James, and then I go to the Phillips, and then I go to the Beck, and then I go to the Williams, and then I go to King James, and I go, put that one back. I it's a wonderful Bible, but I can't understand the these's and the thouses, and I get lost. So I figure if I can get lost, anybody can with that. Okay. As I was studying for this, it came to me a lot of parents forget to teach their children about character. Okay. I know when my son was in school, this is an offering message, but we're going to learn about character tonight and how our hearts will either be good or bad, okay? And so I wanted to look at character of two men. And as I looked at him, I said, oh my goodness, I said, I would never teach an Ananias and Sapphira offering message. Well, God has different ideas on what you will do, okay? And so I said, okay, well, let me get the simplest Bible I can get, and we'll start. Okay, and the one was named Barnabas, who was Joseph, and his name was, the apostles gave him, was the encourager, the son of encouragement, okay? And Luke happened to introduce Barnabas to Saul, just a little background. And so Barnabas at the beginning was the head, okay? But then a young man named Saul came up the ranks. And for a time, oh boy, this is where I'm going, but this okay. For a time, Barnabas was it. But then it was time for him to step aside, and God took Saul, which is Paul, and elevated him. Okay, that's a little background of in the Acts. And Pastor's been teaching on Acts and the power of God. And I just said, Lord, you know, I am so sick and tired of being complacent. I either give me the fire or just get me something. I need something. I'm missing something. And it's kind of like the salt. You know, when you, boy, we've been losing weight, okay? And I called my husband the bread police, the potato police, the rice police. He polices me, okay? Well, he pleases me, but right now he's policing me. Okay. So we're doing without those pleasures that feed the flesh, okay? In here, and I'm getting back to this, I don't know. Holy Spirit, just help me, because you're going around the circle, okay? So we're going right now. And the other one's name was Ananias. Barnabas had the right heart, and we're going to look at that. But Ananias, he was a wealthy man. He had a wife. But let me tell you, he wasn't a good husband to his wife, okay? We're going to find out. It ended up getting her killed, but she was obedient, and she lied along with him, okay? So we're God Almighty, thank you. We're going to start at Acts 2, okay? Acts 2, verse 44 through 47. And it says, and those who had believed were together and had all things common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have a need. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness. Isn't that amazing? And with sincere heart, verse 47, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord was adding to their numbers day by day as those who were being saved. Okay? So that's a little background. The church was coming together. This is a baby church. This is a new church. Okay? Now I want to go to Acts 4. And we're going to go 32 to 37. And this is, this new church was learning to share. Okay? And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. And not one of them claimed that anything belonged to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus. And abundant grace was upon all of them, for there was not a needy person among them. For all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would distribute to each as they had a need. And Joseph, a Levite of the Cyprus birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles. So it's amazing. The apostles sometimes gave you a different name, okay? Because you were born with a flesh name, but then they gave you a spirit name, okay? And so he was Barnabas, a son of encouragement. And when I was looking at that, I was thinking, you know what? Isn't God great? He hooked up Saul, who was Paul, with a man of encouragement. Okay? He was an encourager. So I thought it was pretty neat that when God sent him off on mission trips, that he had an encouragement with him. Okay? Because when you're going out into the world and you're witnessing, you need someone that can encourage you. Okay? So this is how this happened. And Barnabas, he had the right heart. And it says in verse 37, and who owned a tract of land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. That's it. He just did it. He felt it in his heart. He went and sold it, and he brought it all and just put it there. Okay? But now I want you to look at someone who has a bad heart, someone who has bad character. A liar has bad character. You will lie to me. I mean, people, not this church, but people will lie to you, and you really have to step out in faith then the next time they say something to you. Can you believe this? You know? And those people that say, believe it or not. And I'm going, okay, well, I don't know if I believe it or not. So, but they give you the choice. Okay, you can believe it or not. So this man, he was the head of his house. And I looked at a little background, and he was a wealthy man. So, I mean, you know, he wasn't impoverished. He didn't just have a little bit of something. He was very wealthy. And he had a wife. Chapter 5, verse 1, and we're going to read to 11. But a certain man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself with his wife's full knowledge. And bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? Verse 4. While it remained unsold, did it not remain in your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And as he heard these words, Ananias fell down, and his last breath. And great fear came upon all who heard it. Well, I'm sure great fear came on those that were there and saw it too. Okay, verse 6. And the young men arose and covered him up and carried him out and buried him. Okay. What a wonderful example to the young men to see a liar drop dead and then carry him out and bury him. Okay. That's really, God wants you covered, but not that way. Okay. Verse 7. Now there lapped the interval of about 3 hours. And if my husband was gone, I'd kind of wonder where he was too, if he just went to church, but he never came home. Okay. So it's a good thing we have phones here. Now it lapsed 3 hours. And his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Verse 8. And Peter responded to her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for such and such a price." And she says, "Yes." What was the price? That was the price. Sure, that was the price. My husband told me so. Then Peter said to her, "Why is it that you have agreed together to put the Holy Spirit of the Lord to the test? Behold, the feet of those who buried your husband are at the door, and they shall carry you out as well." And she fell immediately at his feet, breathed her last, and the young man came in, said, "Oh, another one," and found her dead, and carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard these things. And then I thought, you know what? I know how the doctrine of the churches with the cemeteries next to them are. Some pastor must have read this and decided he better put a cemetery next to the church, just in case for some people that haven't been renewed yet. Okay? So, boy, I'm telling you, you better check your heart when you give. God takes it very seriously. Like I said last time I taught, if it's a penny, repent and give what, you know, ask for to give more. But if your heart stinketh, so will your giving. Okay? God wants your best. He doesn't ask for crumbs. He asks for your very best. I can tell you a story, and I'm gonna. Okay? When I first started going back to church, it was a while ago. And I can't remember exactly because it's been so long ago. But I watched this show, and they were giving these free Bibles away for $100. And so I sent away for this free $100 Bible. It was large print. I didn't know nothing. I was innocent. Okay? So I got me this $100 free Bible. And I was looking through it, and I had another little Bible, and it had really itty-bitty print. I mean, you know, my eyes were really good then, but I would have needed glasses to see it because it was really hard to see. And I went to Sunday school, and I sat down, and I listened to this guy was talking. And you know what? I never heard one word he said. Because the Holy Ghost just came and sat right next to me and he said, "You know, you see that guy over there?" And I said, "Yeah." "You see how I was going to give this guy this little print Bible because, you know, I had that $100 free one." And so I figured, you know, I'll give him this my leftovers, okay? And so I looked at him and, my God, this man, he needed prayer because he had glasses this thick, okay? And I thought, you know, Lord, he isn't going to be able to see that small print. But I'll think about it. Because the Holy Ghost has said, "Hey, you have that new Bible. And it's large print, remember?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, but you know, I deserve that $100 free Bible." And this man was from, I'm telling you, he was from downtown Tacoma. One of the men that I knew and grew up with at school worked down at the mission. And I'm telling you, if you're not sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, you'd be scared to go down there, okay? And this was his first time to church. He didn't look so cool. He kind of smelled a little bit, and I was very religious because I had my $100 free Bible. And so I sat there, and I was looking at it. I was patting it. I really liked it, you know. I even wrote all my favorite verses and underlined them. The Salvation Message, even then. And this guy, I said, you know, Lord, I'll bring you my old Bible next week. And I went home. Do you know that was the longest stinking week I ever had? I just, every night I couldn't sleep because I saw this man with these big, thick glasses and me with my little print Bible and my $100 free one. And I kept on thinking, you know, Lord, something's wrong with my heart here. Something's wrong. But, you know, $100 is an awful lot. And at that time, my husband didn't give out money real easily. Like I said, he's the bread police. Well, he was the police. Okay. So I went back to Sunday school, and I sat down in that chair again, and I did not hear one thing that teacher. He taught two times in a row, this almost the same thing, but I really didn't hear what he was saying because the Holy Ghost kept on yelling at me. And I kept on saying, I don't want to hear. I like my $100 Bible. I don't want to give it to him. You know, I could give him that other Bible, and it's free. You know, you cannot reason with the Holy Ghost. Because he'll say, you selfish thing. And he doesn't talk nice. He says, you're selfish. And I went, oh. And you're also greedy. Oh, okay. I says, okay, Lord, if he looks at me, I'll walk over and I'll give him the Bible. Oh, boy, I'm telling you the conditions I put on that poor Bible. Okay, so he looked at me. I could hardly see his eyes because they were really, the glasses were so thick. It was hard to see his eyeballs. And I'm going, oh, Laura, you know, he needs that big print. He'll never be able to. And Laura, you know what? If you don't give him that Bible, maybe this is the last time he'll have an opportunity to get born again. And you know, down in Skid Row here, somebody could just snuff him out in a second. But you got your large $100 Bible free, and you want to keep it. And I'm going, oh, God. You know, he, don't fight with God. Don't ever try to talk him out of something either. Because you're not going to win. So I went home with my small print Bible. And he was so happy. I watched during the service after Sunday school coming over. And I sat in the back and I watched that guy. I said, yeah, I know. You know, he's from Skid Row. He probably won't even use it. He'll dump it in a dumpster as soon as he gets out of here. All these things are going through my head. And I'm going, oh, and I watched him. He did not take his eyes off of that Bible the whole service. I don't know if he got born again. But he had a Bible he could read. And that was my responsibility. Okay? Then God gave me a job to watch some children. And you know what? I had enough money to buy me a Bible, one that I wanted. It wasn't free, but I had to work for it because I had to watch these children. And let me tell you, they weren't the sweetest little things. But I had the money, and I went down to Dietmann's, and I had them put my name on in Roman numbers, the Roman letters, so it looked really, oh, it was sharp. And so I was happy. God was happy because I listened to him. He wasn't so happy because he had to talk so much to me. But he was glad that my heart got right, okay? And that's the important part. I made it hard on him, but in turn, it was rough on me. I didn't have a week's worth of sleep, and I felt guilty every time I thought of him. And you know, no matter where I put my eyes, I saw his face, and that was worse. Then I decided, oh, I'll just pray for him. I'll pray for him, and I'll just ask God to bless him. And I know he has a Bible he can read. And so, you know, I was feeling good. I left home feeling good. And then because of that, God rewarded me. Yes, I had to work for this money to get a new Bible, but I got one. It was on sale. It was a good deal, and I could read it. Okay. It's all in the heart. So when we get ready to give tonight, I have mine ready. I don't have any verses on the back of it this time. I checked because that was a good verse. I wanted to use it for later. Okay. So just you have to determine in your own hearts what you'll give, you know, but just be prepared if the Holy Ghost comes over and bounces you one and says, hey, you know, don't forget me. Don't forget. It's not for you to decide how much. You can say, Lord, I would like to give this much. But if he says more, do it. But if he says less, do it. But know who you're hearing from. Okay? You got to know who you're hearing from. So get your offerings ready. Prepare your own hearts. I can't prepare your heart. I can tell you how God dealt with my heart. Okay? You don't want to have him have to deal with you. You want to do it because you just want to. Okay? So I'm just going to pray over it. You better write fast. That's why I say I bring my offerings already, because I don't waste time. Okay? Because Dwayne's got me on a limit here, and I'm over it already. But that's another thing. While you're getting them ready, I'll give you 5 more minutes. The thing is, as a wife, you have to listen to your husband. But when it goes against God's word and God's way, you must stand up and say, hey, because you might be saving his life, but you know for sure you're saving yours. Okay? And I'd much rather have a little discomfort for the moment than be dead. Okay? And so, yes, you can honor your husband. You can hold him up. But if he's going against the word of God, you got to speak up. Okay? And for those who... You just have to do it. So, boy, just remember Barnabas. He was a son of encouragement. And that's the kind of people I would like to stand around. Encouragers, not saying, hey, yeah, you're going down. Okay? So, the only place we have to go is up. Okay? So, lift your hands up. Father God, I thank you tonight. I thank you for the opportunity to give into your kingdom, to your work. Your will, your way, your plans, your purposes are all in our hearts given to you. We thank you, Father. We ask you for hearts and a good character. Our character should be yours. If it's not, we repent and we thank you for your character. We thank you for growing us up, for helping us to be what you want us to be. So we just thank you for this opportunity, Father, right now. In Jesus' name, amen.